Right. Verse 20, Luke 17. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is, there it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." So we have the Pharisees back on the scene asking Jesus, "When is the kingdom of God coming?" And on the surface, this is a reasonable question. Jesus has spoken much of the kingdom. Here in Luke, it's referred to as the kingdom of God. If you spend time in Matthew, it's primarily referred to there as the kingdom of heaven. Either way, Jesus has preached much on this subject. So I wouldn't think twice about their asking if it were not for the track record of these self-righteous antagonists. Based on what we've seen from them up until this point, we should at least be suspicious of their motives and their sincerity here as they question Jesus. The Greek word for questioned can also mean to demand or to interrogate. So it's my expectation that this is more of a sarcastic, "Hey Jesus, when should we expect to see this kingdom you're speaking of?" You know, they're wanting to see something kingly. Remember, he had said that foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Apparently, Jesus hadn't yet heard the prosperity gospel. He missed that one. Homeless. Well, what they saw in Jesus was not their expectation for Messiah. They did anticipate a kingdom. They did anticipate Messiah. They had their ideas of how that should look and how it would unfold. But Jesus and his program didn't fit their bill. So they question him, "When should we expect this kingdom?" And in his response, Jesus, he tells how the kingdom isn't coming with signs to be observed. Now, that's puzzling, because his life and ministry was one great big sign, a giant sign. So what is he saying when he says it's not coming with signs to be observed? Well, I thought it was interesting. The Greek word for observed is parataresis, which means inspection, to observe, basically. But it comes from a very similar word, which is paratereo, which speaks of inspecting or observing scrupulously. That's not a word we use often. Or insidiously, to thoroughly inspect with bad motives. And we see that particular word used four times in conjunction with the Pharisees and Jesus. I think I put the references up here in Mark 3, verse 2, in Luke 6, verse 7, in Luke 14, verse 1, and chapter 20, verse 20. And in each of those instances, the Pharisees, remember, they were watching Jesus closely, looking to find fault with him and how he operated. So they had observed him with an intention to ensnare him. So when we read here in his response that the kingdom isn't coming with signs to be observed, we should hear more than that the kingdom isn't to be seen with eyes, but also that it won't be seen with the skeptical heart perspective with which they were looking. You know, with their skepticism, they were not going to see it. They would miss it. And on the heels of this, he tells them something that probably made them scratch their heads. He says, "The kingdom of God is in your midst," or depending on your version, "within you." What is he saying? Certainly he wasn't saying that the kingdom of God was within their hearts. Do you remember he straight up told them that he called them whitewashed tombs filled with dead man's bones? They didn't have the kingdom of God within their hearts. So what's he saying? Well, I believe this was a little nudge to them. The king of that kingdom you're asking me about, He's here. He's right here. It's me. You know, the one we were just singing to, the one who is worthy. He was there, and they missed him. So in that sense, the kingdom was among them. A couple pages back, if you look to Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus declared that people were entering in to this kingdom. Entering in. Now, there were signs to be observed for those who were looking. All sorts of clues in Christ's life and ministry that did fulfill prophecy and declared with great clarity that he fit the bill. But they, in their hardened state, they would just reject that. The kingdom wouldn't be detected by their skepticism, yet it was in their midst. Now, I thought it would be helpful to do a quick refresher on the kingdom of God. Back in chapter 8, I shared a clarification I came across in William MacDonald's Believer's Bible Commentary that I found helpful. According to him, Mr. MacDonald, the kingdom of God is the realm, visible or invisible, where God's rule is acknowledged and submitted to. That makes sense. Then he continued on to list different stages of the development, if you will, of this kingdom, as we see it play out in the New Testament. In this unfolding of the kingdom of God, although presented in Christ's first coming, we see it will not be realized in its fullness until his second coming. So let's just take a look at these stages that he listed. He listed six of them of the unfolding, if you will, of the kingdom of God. First of all, number one, we see the kingdom was announced by John as being at hand. That's pretty easy to understand. John said the kingdom of God is at hand. Then secondly, as we see in our text today, it was present in the person of Christ. You know, he tells these Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus presented himself to national Israel as king. In chapter 19, we'll come to the triumphal entry. And then thirdly, the third kind of component or stage we see is that the king was rejected by Israel. And just a quick comment here. It would seem, as we study God's word, that things were lined up so that if Israel had accepted and embraced their Messiah, they would have had the opportunity then to move on to the next step. But they didn't. They didn't do that. They rejected him. National Israel did. Now, although it's hard for us to really wrap our minds fully around the bigness of God's sovereignty, we can see that even though that option was on the table, God already had factored in their rejection of him into his plan. And it would be in their rejection of him as king that his son would go to the cross as the Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. And through that greatest act of love and grace our world has ever seen, God can now extend to you and to me an invitation to enter into his eternal kingdom. So that rejection phase, if you will, although ugly, was used for our eternal good. Well, what about today? Number four. Today that the kingdom of God is in mystery form. Though the king is temporarily absent from a physical throne of this world, he is present in the hearts of